Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to get into, because I know I've promised this, we're going to get into the Tory Act. And I'm going to tell you why we're going to get into the Tory Act. Because a lot of people don't realize that the colonists, our framers, though, because if you look, the Tory Act was passed January 2nd, 1776. And it's very clear that the Tory Act was designed to punish those who did not embrace, it wasn't about independence, because you got to understand the Declaration of Independence hadn't even been signed yet. They were so fed up with tyranny that the Tory Acts were basically passed into law so that they could actually start separating themselves from those who demanded subjugation to Britain and the crown. Who passed the Tory Acts? Was it a vote? Actually, it was a vote. It was voted by the representative government, by the Continental Congress on January 2nd. Now, I want you to understand why this is important. Because moving forward, we have a lot of, well, we'll call them Tories, we'll call them Platonists, we'll call them communists. Regardless, they do not embrace and are not a part of our paradigm that is what we build, what this, the paradigm that created this republic, the bedrock of our concepts of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And that is, as Jefferson eloquently stated in the Declaration of Independence, that we are endowed by our Creator inalienable rights. You have to understand, those those who were supporting King George, those who were supporting Britain, did not believe that you had inalienable rights, that those are given to you by government. And so the paradigm has become crystal clear with Platonists today, because the Platonists really, I tell you, they're hardwired. That's one of the reasons why I've read the Billy Graham commitment letter. That if you just Google Billy Graham and commitment, you'll find this letter from a communist that was sent to his fiance, I think in one of the Carolinas. Regardless, the Platonists are hardwired to subjugate you and mankind. They do not believe we should be left to our own choices, and they do not believe we should, you know, be able to have liberty. You have liberty that is based upon the state, not liberty based upon the fundamental principles that has created this nation. In other words, those fundamental principles of endowed rights. You have the right to say whatever you want. Well, that can hurt somebody's feelings. We can't allow that. We can't allow you to religiously worship, because that dogma may not be copacetic with what the state needs to do. So that is why we're going to get into the Tory Acts, because this is how the colonists, the leaders of this new concept of a constitutional republic that that within its frameworks, it created a level of protection from tyranny that took a lot of time to, you know, to pervert and subvert this. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that is as perverted and subverted as our constitutional republic really is. We have, it's almost like, you know, you just push the button and it literally is a reset. And I hate to use that metaphor because you know, what comes to mind is Hillary and that fiasco. But the whole point is that the framers, inspired by the divine hand of providence, gave us a system that can quickly be corrected. And when I say quickly be corrected, we do not need to exert excessive force, such as a war or rebellion. We can literally demand compliance. And those who have the authority in demanding compliance, which is the states, they actually have the ability to exert what I would say the least amount of force necessary to obtain compliance. And when I say the least amount of force, in other words, innocent people won't get hurt. Innocent people aren't going to be put in harm's way. Those people that will possibly be hurt and possibly suffer consequences are the supposedly what we call political or public servants. And so we're here to tell you that we have the ability, but we're losing time. And so that's one of the reasons why I try to go through marketing concepts, because I want you to see how these paradigms are actually surfacing in some of the things that the progressives are actually instituting. If you start recognizing some of the crap that they're doing regarding the environment and this religion towards the saving the earth. The earth's not dying. The earth will never die. It will transform, and it has transformed. And I shouldn't say never, because, you know, who knows, billions of years from now, this solar system and our sun will probably burn out, and it will be transformed and recycled. Because if you look at what it takes to, you know, for a solar system to form, it can be dismantled and reformed again. All things, when it comes to science, all things can be explained, usually. But when it comes to the principles of life and the spiritual nature, all things can be revealed as well. So it just takes time. And it took us, obviously, 200 some odd years to get to this point to where we realized what they knew way back then. And that thing that they realized way back then when they were creating this constitutional republic is that they were going to create a contract, a compact amongst the states, something that science doesn't understand and something that they do not explain to you in political science or anything else, that this compact empowered the states. And even in contract law, they don't even talk about this compact of the Constitution. And how? Why? Because it's too complicated, and you have to leave these things to those who are certified by the bar to have the controls over these things. If you kind of understand what has been involved in perverting and subverting our Constitutional Republic, it has been to the self-aggrandizing of very specific professional classes within our society, as well as giving those who have the affluence and so forth the levels of controls necessary, as long as you get your vacations every year, as long as you get to have a little bit of downtime with the family and so forth, you're okay. You're not going to rebel. Folks, the doors are beginning to shut. And we're going to get into that when we come back after the break. So, but I just wanted to explain to you why we want to go through the Tory Act and why it is so important. Because people believe that asset forfeiture and taking property in the name of the state is abhorrent. But I am here to tell you that they understood that you needed to strip the property, wealth, and everything from those enemies as you sent them back. Because if you look at how many people were sent back and, you know, kicked out of America, went to Canada, Britain, and so forth, and the loss of property and wealth that occurred, I'm here to tell you That did not help the British charge because they were hoping to be able to pay off some debts with some of that as they collected it for these people that, you know, were claiming, hey, they took our wealth, they took our property, and we're complaining. The next thing we're going to get into, because I talked about this before, is we want to get into the 14th Amendment in Section 3 regarding the oath and the oath of the citizen. So we're going to get into some details on this as to why this citizen oath, in addition to, because this falls in line with this Tory Act. Every citizen has to take an oath, which means that if you're a naturalized citizen, you have to raise your arm to the square and you have to be, as you become a true citizen. Well, those of us who are born citizens, that oath and that paradigm is implied upon us as well. So that's why we want to get into that. And it'll hopefully give us, you know, lead into getting into our first Thanksgiving proclamation and the first Republic celebration of Thanksgiving. And what was that real celebration? This is important, and the reason why is I'm begging you to take the time to read this proclamation to your family for Thanksgiving. Before you have anything to eat, before you turn on that tube, if you do it Thanksgiving Eve, the night before, or what have you, please take the time so that your family understands what this nation recognized in giving thanks under this new concept of a constitutional republic. And with that, we're at a hard break. We will be right back with some marketing. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Yeah, so as we were just kind of closing on the fact of having this proclamation that we do every year, we do this because we want to impress upon you to help us change the paradigm in changing how we have been manipulated into spending a lot of money on food. And actually, if you understand the seven sins, gluttony being one of those, Thanksgiving is the gluttony holiday, isn't it? And if you understand the intent behind the proclamation of Thanksgiving by George Washington that was requested unanimously by Congress, then I implore you to help us start changing the paradigm. We, as a republic, as a constitutional republic, had a new thing to be thankful for, not just for the survival of the colonies for Britain, but the endowment of the Constitution by the divine hand of providence. Go read that and understand that Thanksgiving was not about gluttony. It was about providing service. So that's why we get into these types of things, so that we can start actually thinking and putting things into the perspective that the framers had, because that is one thing that is completely lost in our republic, and that's one thing that's completely lost in our society, because it's reflected by the mores. We are, let's say, indolent as a society, because we have created an entitlement state and people just believe they're entitled to things, and it makes us lazy because the government gives us crap and subsidizes all sorts of things at our own peril, basically enslaving us. And we're heading down that path, just like just like that old concept of how to trap a pig in the wild by throwing food out in one spot for, you know, a few days. The pig will come and start eating that slop. And then you put up a wall next to where you feed the pig. And then you put up another wall, a corner. And then you put up another wall so that there's only one way for that pig to get to that food. And then when the pig's eating, you put up the final wall. And it's an incremental thing, because after a while, the pig gets used to the fact that these three walls are around them. When by the time the fourth wall is put in place, it's too late for the pig to escape. And so by them giving us stuff, by them subsidizing, and it's not like they're doing this. It's not like the government is being productive in making revenue for themselves. They're taking the revenue that we're making and they're using it against us. So it's very, very important that we actually start putting things into the proper perspective as we start thinking about what the heck we're doing. I'll be remiss if I didn't do a little bit of what I used to call groveling, and that's to at least basically state that we have a sponsor. It's called Red State Coffee, and if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and you just go down to our new sponsor on the main page, it says our new sponsor, Red State Coffee. You just click on that link. It will take you straight to the Red State Coffee. Go get yourself some, especially if you drink coffee. Tell me what you think of this coffee. Tell me what you think of our sponsor. I know it may cost you, $12? I don't know. I believe it's $12. Get yourself a bag. I know that may be a little high price for it, but you tell me if that is quality coffee or not. Give us a call, 425-270-5416. We want to hear from you and what you believe is the quality level. Would you endorse this coffee and so forth? Because we're okay with using you as the endorsers and or helping us, because that's how you can help. Anyway, that's why we need your support. That's why I am groveling. We also have the GoFundMe. The link to that is also on Reclaiming the Republic. We need your support. If you believe that there is something wrong, if there is something rotten in Denmark, then we need you to, one, acknowledge and step up. And some of the ways you can step up is getting involved. You can always send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And if you say, hey, what can I do? I live in this county. You don't have to tell me your town. You don't even have to tell me your address. But if you tell me the county and state you live in, we might actually be able to help you. And more importantly, we ask that you give it some prayer, thought, and ponder on the concept of actually stepping into the political fray and challenging those hacks that are setting you up in losing our Constitution and liberty. And as if we'll be none the wiser, like we don't realize what's going on. So we need your help. We need good citizens to begin leading. If you believe you can lead, if you believe you are a leader, we need your help. Now, I also wanted to let you know that there is a newspaper in Maryland, and it's called Roaring Wind Tribune. And they have come to me and they've asked us if they could publish or actually take a transcript of my, it's my Christmas show, how I kind of go through the details of how we've been set up into celebrating and commercializing Christmas the way it has come down this path, as it's evolved through, as I assert, through this manipulation of a lot of different things, and how they kind of, whether it was a grand conspiracy or whether they just started recognizing, hey, we can start working together and we can actually all kind of benefit from this. Either way, it's the truth behind Christmas and how it evolved into this big, huge commercial success, and how they are now trying to actually shift Christmas away from the whole reason why they made Christmas important in the first place was about Christ. Anyway, so they're going to be publishing that, and the reason they found that is they found that on the Reclaiming the Republic YouTube page. And so they called they sent me a message. We spoke yesterday, and they will be publishing it in their December newsletter newspaper. And so I will be putting up the Roaring Wind Tribune link to that on my important link information, because I don't want to say they're just necessarily just conservative. They're constitutional, Christian-based newspaper that is interested in printing the truth. And so with that, we will kind of leap forward into what I like to call the marketing. And in doing so, let me first thank you for tuning in. We know that there's a lot of things you can be doing, and some of you have to take a little bit of effort in tuning in because we're obviously not on the airwaves everywhere. So that means that you're either streaming to pick this up, or you're picking up the podcast, or you're calling in, and that call-in number, and this is really important, that call-in number is always there, so every time that this show is being broadcast, you can just call in 605-562-4209. That is the listen line. And in addition, the one thing that I really forgot to actually throw out there in the very beginning was that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. Now, as always, there's no sign. There's absolutely zero possibility that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. That's why we keep doing this show. We're going to keep doing this show until I truly believe that, you know, it's out of my hands. There's nothing more I can possibly do. And I'm a pretty optimistic person. But anyway, we want to get into the marketing. And the whole point of the marketing is just to show you that there will never be a sign. There's no way that this is going to turn around without you getting involved. So the whole point of marketing is literally taking you down this path of letting you see just how tragic things have gotten in our society so that you can, again, get motivated and say, that's it. I am going to get involved. So we're going to get into some G. Edward Griffin need-to-know news. And the first one is on vaccine manufacturers. And this is a great article. He says, vaccine manufacturers have projected that they will provide as many as 162 million to 169 million doses of flu shots for the 2019-2020 season. Flu shots are responsible for nearly 70% of all cases of shoulder injury-related vaccine administration, which is a permanent and debilitating shoulder pain and has been blamed on bad injection technique. Do you have bad shoulders? Think about this. Instead of the toxic substance injected into a muscle, according to Dr. Tenpenny's analysis of the CDC data over 19 years, 85% of illness commonly called the flu is caused by a pathogen other than an influenza virus. Flu shots are designed to protect only against influenza viruses, and the three or four viruses in the vaccine must match the influenza viruses in circulation that you're being exposed to, or they're not going to protect you at all. The risk for this whole influenza vaccinations is a questionable benefit, as far as G. Edward Griffin is throwing out there. We will get back in closing on this, but I want you to think, do your shoulders bother you? And we'll be right back after these two promos. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So let me try a different tact here. Because I want to, the reason why I'm bringing this up is, you know, because people go, well, what does this have to do with our Constitution, the Constitutional Republic, or what have you? First off, the research that was done in providing this information for you was done by the CDC. Now, that's nice that there's this centralized resource, but if you understand the limitations that the federal government has in the Constitution, this information should be compiled from the states, not from the federal government. In other words, the CDC has no constitutional grounding and authority to even mandate any type of vaccinations or anything like that. The other thing is that due to the fact that these things are mandated, because if you're in a very specific professions or what have you, they say you must get these inoculations. It's just like going to school, how kids are receiving inoculations. And we've heard about some of the dangers of the mediums or ingredients in these formulas, in the serums and what have you. But this is a new twist, because now they're talking about SIRVA, shoulder injury related to vaccine administration. In other words, the actual giving of the vaccine to the to the recipient. And so here's the thing. If you happen to have shoulder pain, or if you get a flu shot and you realize that they're actually, you know, poking that needle at the top of your arm right into your shoulder, because these vaccines are supposed to be going into your meaty part of the muscle, not the tendons. So the question is, how much damage are they doing in just the administration itself? And this whole concept of this mandating by the government to say you have to have these, it's one thing if you're in the military, because you have no rights. You have subjugated yourself into serving, you know, the needs of the nation, and whatever those needs are, like I said, it's the perfect form of communism. But the fact of the matter is that there is an increase, as this is this is highlighting here, that 70% of all cases of shoulder injury related to vaccine administrations, which is a permanent disability, is being blamed on the injection technique. So maybe you can help by helping those who are actually giving you shots to say, hey, put it in the meaty part of my arm or in my buttocks, not up at my hip or where the tendons are attaching to the bone, because that's where the shots are supposed to go. Now, here's the other thing, because I mentioned this before, and in all honesty, it's worth repeating, because you just can't make this kind of stuff up, right? When it gets really bad, when you see tyranny at its truest form, then, you know, you go, oh my gosh, that's just terrible. But when all of a sudden it's almost like going out and you're dealing with a real evil person and they're just arguing and arguing and arguing with you over the daylight, whether that's the sun or the moon. And you're staring up at the sun and you're saying, that is the sun. And they go, no, that's just the moon. And it's really bright tonight. That's kind of the case of what's happened with the UN. And G. Edward Griffin reported a group of 54 nations. I know I mentioned this before, but I want to get into actually the details he's provided. So a group of 54 nation members issued a statement defending China for building over 1,000 concentration camps to imprison, torture, indoctrinate, rape, and kill Muslims. But more importantly, because they're just a small little teeny faction, because that's how Griffin is putting this on the Muslim side. But I'm telling you, it's the Falun Dong that we have been reporting that has become the political prisoners du jour for China. And there's a good reason for that. But anyway, and these 54 nations are crediting the camps with building, quote, a stronger sense of happiness, close quote, in the country. Belarus, claiming to speak on behalf of the other nations, issued this statement. Faced with the grave challenge of terrorism and extremism, China has undertaken a series of counterterrorism and de-radicalization measures in Xinjiang, if I've got that right, or Xinjiang, including setting up a vocational education and training centers. These are all concentration camps, my friends. The past three consecutive years has seen not a single terrorist attack in Xinjiang, and people there enjoy a stronger sense of happiness, fulfillment, and security. The NGO, which is a non-governmental organization, Human Rights Watch, claims that the Chinese regime is bullying developing nations into silence on the conditions there. And so there's 54 nations that are now kowtowing. So I don't believe that these 54 nations had the epiphany to say, hey, these prison camps and what the Chinese are doing is really a good thing. I believe that these 54 nations are being subjugated by China because their needs for commerce, their needs for trade, and what have you, because China is becoming a despotic machine in producing crap that everybody else thinks that they need. And so In doing this, these 54 nations are literally subjugating themselves. They're going down that path of subjugating themselves to, let's just say probably one of the most despotic nations ever known in the history of humankind, mankind, however you want to put it. So here's another one that is regarding the Circus Maximus. And I mentioned this at the beginning of this year, that Circus Maximus has begun. And we've been watching and watching and watching. And I've been telling you that the buying of votes is not only unconscionable and immoral, but it will never stop until we demand it to be stopped. In other words, in the campaigning discussions, a politician should not be able to get up and say, if you vote for me, I will give you these things. Because that is tantamount to buying votes. They should be speaking of what their positions are on the issues and how they should be championing whatever needs or changes to the Constitution are necessary to get us into that constitutional space for them to do what they believe we need to be doing. Now, Democratic 2020 candidate Senator Warren unveiled her plan to fund Medicare for All just recently. That would cost $52 trillion. $52 trillion. And that's not a lifetime, that is just like the initial cost, requiring $20.5 trillion in new spending over the next decade. She proclaimed that her plan would not require a middle-class tax hike. In other words, they're going to spend this huge amount of money, trillions. Now, if we look at the debt, we're talking in billions, and we're actually, you know, we're at $20 trillion, but the spending is based on billions or thousands of billions and so forth on a yearly basis. This level, I mean, the $20.5 trillion is what our current debt is. Actually, our current debt is a little higher than that now, but I mean, this is only one facet. This is only healthcare, my friends. This isn't everything. This isn't feeding you. This isn't your energy and all these other consumables that are constantly being spent on in our market space. This is just one facet of the market space. Do you understand when I have been telling you about Eisenhower's sleight of hand when he warned everybody about the military-industrial complex and how we should be keeping our eyes on that, when at the very beginning of his administration, he created the Health, Education, and Welfare Department, and how the Health Department has now overcome and makes the defense and the militarized or the military-industrial complex pale in comparison to the cost and magnitude of health care. So I don't know, you know, if you put a lie detector on Elizabeth Warren, but for her to really think you cannot increase taxes of such a significant magnitude, she's crazy. She says slashing defense spending, providing a pathway to citizenship for illegal immigrants, and mandating an employer Medicare contribution that forces companies to send the money that they use for employee insurance to the federal government instead. Employees usually pay a portion of their health care premiums, but under Warren's plans, employers will be saddled with the tax, resulting in job and wage losses. You have to understand what she's really going to do if she gets elected. And oh, by the way, I don't have to tell you this, but she has no constitutional standing, and there is no room in the Constitution for presidents to just mandate this kind of crap. Or even if Congress tries to pass a law The only way we can actually have the federal government even put their fingers into healthcare, education, and welfare, which Eisenhower bestowed upon us, would be through an amendment process. And that has never occurred. This is why this is all unconstitutional and tyrannical. And we'll be back right after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Let's keep in mind, you know, just like healthcare, Medicare is an unconstitutional program, just like Social Security is unconstitutional. Now, they have deeply entrenched Social Security and some of these Medicare costs and other things into a system that has trapped us. There are ways of digging out without hurting people. I want you to understand this. I don't want you to think that, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, put this into context. They knew what they were doing by creating all of these dependencies, your retirement program, Social Security, Medicare, that's going to cover your costs of retirement for health expenses. Because, oh, for some reason, because government's gotten involved, the cost of healthcare has gone up through the roof. Every time government gets involved, it always bodes badly for the people. Anyway, let's put this in perspective. Currently, your Medicare costs are paid for. Now, it's grown so much that people have to contribute into this. But if you understand who is contributing, your Medicare costs are coming from those who are already working. And Medicare is only supposed to be for... It was originally intended for those who have retired who don't have the income to cover for their own medical costs. Well, it's grown and grown, just like Social Security has grown and grown. And disability has now become a part of Social Security, where kids supposedly have... We knew a woman who had put her kids in for disability because they couldn't drink soda. And that they had this stomach problem. And so for a good, 5, 10 years, I believe, while these children were supposedly disabled and going to school, living a normal life as a kid, this mother was collecting Social Security benefits for her children at your expense.
And that's just one. It's not an outlier. That's just one case. So, and as a matter of fact, I would highly recommend that you, even, you know, lather yourself up in sanitizing creams and so forth. You know, take what do they call those things? Those the sanitizer hand washes or what have you. Just take yourself a bottle. Let's go sit in the Social Security offices where people come in to make their claims and so forth. You've got one near you. Go to that Social Security Administration building, sit in there, and look at all of the people that are in there trying to scam the government into giving them your money, especially if you're coming close to or if you're a retired person. When I went with my loved one, a family member, and I sat in there with them, we saw, and as a matter of fact, I'm kidding you not, we literally were sitting in the back row so we could kind of see everybody, and we saw this woman who was walking in, and she must have been maybe 38, 42, you know, somewhere in that age group, you know, that point in life where it just gets so hard. So she had a walker, and she came in with a walker, and she couldn't walk. I mean, when they brought her in, they, you know, because you have to go through a metal detector, so they had to kind of help her through the metal detector because she needed that walker so badly. And as she, you know, came in, she was leaning on the walker and sitting there, and now she's in this big waiting room. And they call her up, and she gets up on her walker and goes up to the counter. And they said, okay, you need to go over to this other room, which is outside the room, down the hallway to a different room to talk to somebody else. And so she was kind of in a hurry to get there. And as she was walking along with the knee, you know, with the full support of her walker, she came into this point where there were obstacles. There was a table with some brochures, people sitting, and so forth. And so she just, instead of going all the way around, because she couldn't, you know, walk without her walker, she looked around the room and made sure that nobody, or she wasn't in view of any of the Social Security workers at the administration there. And she kind of made sure that she wasn't in a camera view. So she scanned the room pretty thoroughly. Then she picked up her walker, lifted it up, you know, over the table and everything else, proceeded to take about a good 6-7 steps to clear herself from the said obstacle, put the walker down, and then walked on to and back to her limping and everything else. The act had restored itself, and she walked her way down to whoever it was that was going to allocate her disability. That may not be, you know, a constant thing that you see, but it is not an outlier either. People are scamming for your retirement. And the fact that they even opened up the retirement program, the Social Security program for disabilities and all sorts of things, and giving it to people who've never contributed. Are you kidding me? Just want you to think about that, because there is a way to fix this. There's a way to make sure that those who have contributed receive, and those who haven't contributed who need help, they need to be going to the true compassionate services organizations that are near you as well. And I think you'd call them churches or social centers or community centers or whatever. That is who is supposed to be taking care of those who are in need, not government. We've got to close these insidious programs, because as long as they exist, there'll be people coming along like Senator Warren that is going to promise you access to this pot of money and actually broaden it and give people more of these leeches, more and more opportunity. Now, I've been in conservative rooms where I talk about, you know, these types of things, and I get a conservative. Like, I remember one time I was talking about welfare and the indolence and so forth, and this woman came up. She says, I take offense because I, you know, truly need that help. I'm, you know, 70 some odd years old. I'm on Social Security. I need that welfare. And then I started explaining to her that how much better would she be if instead of it being compulsion and it was being administered by your local minister, that the local minister was helping to provide for those who truly needed it. Would that not be even better than just, you know, creating a spigot so that if you can make it to the spigot, you can have some? Are you kidding? There has to be filters. There has to, if not, people will take advantage. It's, that's human nature. If people see an opportunity for free stuff and free money, they are going to jump on it. Now, here's a good one. The Committee for Responsible Federal Budget on Elizabeth Warren's plan reported that the wealth tax won't even come close to covering Warren's plan and will only meet about 40% of the cost of Medicare for All. Cornell Law Professor William Jacobson. Now, keep in mind, this is Cornell Law Professor, right? What do you think he's going to say? Well, let me tell you. He says that the funding for Warren's Medicare for All is unrealistic and will force 140 million Americans to give up their private health insurance. Now, I'm here to tell you, why isn't that professor saying that Senator Warren and Obama and current Congress and back in Eisenhower's days, they had no constitutional authority to even create these roles, responsibilities, and powers so that they could destroy and enslave us? Why isn't he saying that? Instead, they want to talk about, you know, accepting the paradigm that, oh, government can do whatever it wants to, but we got to keep it fiscally responsible. If you understand the term conservative, that's keeping things the way they are. We need to put on a paradigm of restoring things the way they're supposed to be, not conserving them. I don't like the word or the label conservative. And so with that, I want you to understand that when you start hearing these people and then you understand what they're saying, they're not talking about the Constitution, the constitutionality, and whether these things are legitimate roles, responsibilities, and powers that the federal government has been granted and delegated by the states via that Constitution. In other words, these are usurped powers. And in essence, this is the epitome of tyranny. Tyranny being arbitrary powers presumed to govern. And I'm telling you, my friends, we have been living under such federal tyranny. And in my latest article, because I'm running out of time, in my latest article that we'll be posting, we are making the case and proving to you that we have now been, and our whole society has been transformed to a standing army. We are living under a standing army, and they are ready and positioned to descend upon us with the hell and fury necessary in getting us to comply. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic. We'll have more marketing tomorrow. God bless.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty